T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mark Childress in for Mark Sturgis, having a blast today. Been talking NBA, college baseball, college football too. We're going heavy college football this hour. Heavy. I'm introducing you to Moody Beharry at 520 today. TheCCubed.com. He has a algorithm. Now I can't say algorithm without you saying we're having algorithm on the show today. Diesel, thank you for planting that joke in my head. Now I can't stop thinking about it. And I'll say algorithm like 50 times this hour. He's got a college football ranking algorithm, computer-based, that's kind of cracked the code a little bit. This is not your BCS computer ranking anymore. It's cool. He's going to talk to you about it. He is going to win you over at 520. And you are going to say, hey, I want to get a hold of this computer algorithm. And guess what? This is the best part on both of the guests that I'm bringing you this hour. This is at 520. Guess what? You can participate in it. He can give you the keys to the algorithm, and you can go and change it to make it look however you want. How much should the coaches poll count? How much should the AP poll count? He's got 4 different metrics that he tracks teams by. What percentage should you put on each one of those? It's fascinating stuff. He's in at 520. Then 537, Heath Gregory from FanJuicer.com. Go check out FanJuicer.com, Heath's website. It's awesome. And he did college football rankings all last year. He's done a couple of great articles recently. The most recent one is about NFL logos. So he takes proven marketing survey techniques that no one else that does fan polling for sports is using. Just him. He brings in thousands of people to do this polling, and then he gives out the results. And guess what? If you want to participate in his 2018 college football ranking week-to-week polls, you can do that. And to me, that's really, really cool. So if you're the guy that's sitting around at home, oh, the rankings again, Wisconsin 6, they should be 4. How did Alabama get in over Ohio State? You can play a part in both of these. Engagement. You can get involved with both of these. And then I'm cooking up something in the fall that I think you guys will like involving both of these guys. It's cool stuff. For me, it moves the needle. How can you help? How can you raise your voice and be a part of the college football playoff rankings? This is a start. I'll give you 2 engines to help you get there faster. And I think you'll like it. Hey, just picking up some news of the day type stuff. For Clemson, Lucas Glover, 6-under through 16 holes at the Memorial Tournament, Jack's Tournament today. He's tied for 3rd place right now. Still has a couple holes to play. Kyle Stanley shot 5-under 67 today. This is the good news for Clemson golfers. The bad news, I had to scroll a really long way to find Doc Redman. So as you know, Doc Redman officially turned pro earlier this week after Clemson finished 13th in the NCAA golf tournament. And he had an exemption into the Memorial, which is right now. Doc shot a 77 today, 5-over. I know he's disappointed. He's got to be worn out, too. He's played a lot of golf in the last week and a lot of competitive golf. But it's a start. You got to start somewhere. So Doc's going to have to go real low tomorrow if he wants to make the cut and get that money and get those FedEx points and get those sponsors exemptions for future tournaments. So we'll keep our eye on Doc. Hope things improve for him. 2 college baseball regionals starting tomorrow, we hope. We're hopeful that the weather is going to steer away from Clemson and steer away from Greenville, North Carolina. And whatever's going on right outside our studio right now, I hope gets out of here quick. Because it's dark and it's windy. It looks bad. So I think we're going to have all kinds of weather delays in both of the regionals this weekend. However, South Carolina has named their starter for their opening game against Ohio State tomorrow. And it's their ace, junior right-hander Adam Hill. I think that's going to be the right move for the Gamecocks. Ohio State will counter with its own ace, junior lefty Connor Curless. He was 7-4 this season, 3.81 ERA. Hill is 7-5 with a 4.08 ERA. And Adam Hill, you just got to keep your eye on one thing with Adam Hill. Is he getting the ball over the plate? He struggles with his control a little bit. When he is on, he is electric. I think he had a couple of 12, 13, 14 strikeout games at the beginning of the season for the Gamecocks. He came out hot. So if he has his stuff and he can throw the ball over the plate and he isn't walking anybody, he's going to be tough to beat this entire postseason. So the Gamecocks are going for it. They're coming out of the gate and saying, hey, we want to win game one. So we're putting Adam Hill on the mound. I think that probably lines Logan Chapman up for game two for them. But we'll see. Regional host East Carolina will go with its ace for game one, throwing junior right-hander Chris Holba out there. He's 9-1 this season. So the Gamecocks will be glad they're avoiding him early on. The UNC Wilmington Seahawks have not yet announced their starter. So it's South Carolina versus Ohio State tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. first pitch on ESPN2. And then East Carolina and UNC Wilmington play tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That game is streaming only. Brooks Crawford will be starting for Clemson against Morehead State. So we had David Hood from TigerNet on earlier. He said Morehead State lineup would be full of right-handed batters. So Clemson will throw a right-hander. Be interesting to keep our eyes on what happens there. Now, David said he would not be surprised if it was a wide-open game. Morehead State had to win their conference tournament to get to the College World Series, to get to the regionals at all. They would not have made it. They won their conference tournament and made it, and they did that by hitting the ball all over the park. This team is all offense and not much else. So I think David Hood's exact quote was, hey, we were, it could be tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. I look around. It's 11-9 in the game. He thinks that could happen. Vanderbilt and St. John's are the other two teams in the Clemson region. They take on each other tomorrow afternoon. The Clemson game tomorrow is scheduled to start at 6 o'clock, weather permitting. Pre-game starting at 5:30. You can hear that right here on ESPN Upstate. So we'll be on tomorrow from 4 to 5:30. If there's no weather problems, you'll get college baseball from there. And the best news of all about the show tomorrow, Mark Sturgis is back. Missed pretty much the entire month of May, cervical fusion surgery. I've been texting a lot with Sturge, haven't talked to him all that much. Seems to be doing good, and I can tell you this, he's ready to be back. So I expect Sturge coming back full fire, like always. I can't imagine what all he has pent up inside that he wants to talk about. You may just, Diesel, press the button at what? When do we start? About 4:03 tomorrow? And then you and I might just walk out and let Sturge just rant for an hour and a half. Because he went for like a week or 10 days where he couldn't even talk. He was not even allowed to talk after the surgery. So he's got a ton of stuff to say.
And the thing is, most of us haven't talked to him.
Yep.
And I don't know if you remember talking to Sturge before the surgery. This is something he was very concerned about. And it is a legitimate side effect of the surgery. It can affect your voice. It can affect your speaking voice. Because what they have to do is they have to go in through the front of your neck. And he sent me a picture.
Yeah, I've seen that
picture. The scar. The scar is about 2 inches wide across his neck on his left side.
Yeah, I'm
and
cringing.
They have to go in and sort of sometimes push your vocal box out of the way to get to your spine behind it. You would think, why don't they just come in from the backside? I guess they can't. I don't know.
Well, this was the second time he's had it. I think he can go in from the back once, and then the second time you have to go in from another way.
So
I think I've got that right.
So, yeah, again, that's a concern. We none of us have talked to him.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And so, by the way, it's Sturgery. It's not surgery.
Oh,
it's
God.
Sturgery.
He has a way of just inserting himself into a lot of things, doesn't he?
Yeah, well,
Cinco de Marco.
I coined this. Yeah, I coined
Sturgery. Oh, God.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's come up with it. So Sturge will be back tomorrow, man. I'm glad. It's going to be good to have him back. Fun to talk to him. So he'll be back tomorrow. Hey, some more breaking news for the Tigers today. And it's good news. Seth Beer, Riley Gilliam, and Logan Davidson were all named All-Americans by Baseball America today. Beer was first-team All-American. Gilliam was a second-team All-American, and Davidson was a third-team All-American. Beer was also named first-team All-American by Collegiate Baseball. Man, Clemson's going to miss Seth Beer next year. That kid can hit. Beer was also an All-American in 2016 and 2017. He joins Rusty Adkins as the only three-time All-Americans in Clemson history. Rusty played from 1965 to 1967. Beer joins Shane Monahan, Jeff Baker, and Chris Oakey as the only two-time first-team All-Americans in Tiger history. Congratulations to you, Seth Beer. Unbelievable. Now, I thought Riley Gilliam would end up first-team, but he got second-team. Gilliam's tied for the ACC lead in saves with 11, has an ERA below 1, 53 strikeouts and 36.1 innings pitched. And Logan Davidson batting .298 with 15 homers, 45 RBIs, 10 steals, and a .972 fielding percentage at shortstop. That's good. That's really good. So congratulations. Man, what a huge honor. All-American. I don't care what you're doing. Get an honor like that. They should be very, very pleased. So congrats to those three Tigers. So, regional start tomorrow. Who you got? I really feel like the Tigers are going to come out of the regional this year. Last 2 years, Clemson's hosted a regional, and they've lost. Last year, they lost to Vanderbilt, who's right back here this year. This team feels different this year. It feels like the Tigers are going to move on. And as far as the Gamecocks go, I could absolutely see a path for the Gamecocks making it out of that regional. East Carolina fans are crazy, and they are loud. And South Carolina will be bringing a ton of people up there. The key for me is tomorrow. If South Carolina can win that game against Ohio State tomorrow, that game's at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. They are very, very well positioned, I think, to find a way to beat East Carolina a couple times so they can get out of there. That's probably what's going to happen. It's going to come down to basically, it's a double elimination tournament, but can South Carolina beat East Carolina twice is more than likely what it's going to come down to for them. Let's see what we can do if you're the Gamecocks. Man, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you didn't even think you'd be here right now. And now you're here. Greenville, North Carolina, Clemson, South Carolina. Weather, stay away, please. So we can see what's going on. All right. I've been talking about this all show. College football rankings. Is there a better way to do it? I say there is. I'm going to bring you two guys in the next two segments. They're going to tell you their way. It's going to blow your mind. Mark Childress in for Mark Sturgis. Man, I've been looking forward to having this guy on all week. I've got Moody Beharry from C-Cube.
Week.
TheCCube.com. Yeah, what did you say, week? It should have been month.
No, I'm actually honored that it was this all this week. I'm kind of flattered. Thank you.
Yeah, no, Moody, I'm excited to have you here. I've got Diesel here with me as well, helping us with the show today. So you've got this fancy algorithm that helps do college football playoff rankings. So that's immediately going to be met with skepticism when you hear computer algorithms, but yours is different.
Right.
So why is yours different?
Well, mine's different because it introduces the human element as far as opinion and a human factor twofold. One, it introduces the AP poll and the coaches poll, and it bakes it into the formula because every week we get a quantifiable number from those two polls. So it's easy to then incorporate that into a mathematical formula. But it is, in fact, human opinion. Opinion from very smart people who know the sport better than most of us. And so it allows that factor to be brought in. So it's not just straight numbers based on performance. The other factor is this formula is a part of an application that I also developed that allows a person to say, say that this part of the formula or this part of the formula is more important to me and I could put more weight to it. So we all three could each have our own version of this and factor in the way we want it to. And then we can make an argument as to our own personal rankings. I think this team should be ranked because of this. Or Diesel could say, no, I feel like this is more important. So my ranking is different. So you have these human elements that take away just the straight math. And that's why it's different.
Okay, there's a bunch to unpack here. I'm fascinated by this. So where did you come up with this idea? How did you start down this path and create all of this?
It's a great question. The first day that the college football playoff committee came out with their first ranking, and the first thing I noticed, there was no number next to the team. Before that, if you look at the AP poll or the coaches poll, there's a quantifiable number. But there was just a simple ranking, and everybody from day one said, well, how are you coming up with this rank? How are you determining this? And there was never an answer given. So that really started the wheels turning for me. And I started to just sort of play around with different ideas on how we can make this happen and come up with a ranking system from 1 to 130 based on both, the human polls as well as how the teams perform.
So it's not just top 25. It's all the way one. It's beginning to end. You can rank everybody.
Yep. Everybody gets ranked.
Excellent. So and the BCS had a lot of just computer rankings that did not mm-hmm. involve the human factor like yours. So you've already shown how yours is a little bit different, and I think that's great. Mm-hmm. But a lot of folks are immediately going to say, hey, do we want computers back in on how we decide all of this? So why should we bring a computer algorithm back into play for deciding the playoff rankings?
Well, because the one thing that people also need to have is consistency. And what's the definition of consistency? A formula. We want to have something where it's not completely subjective, because if that happens, you're going to really call into question people's judgment. Will bias start becoming a factor? Well, this team has been a top five team for 20 years. We should have them ranked even though they stink this year. So suddenly they might get more credit than they really do simply based on the inertia of their reputation from prior performances. So a formula kind of does take out a little bit of the human element to allow that consistency, allow how a team is performing in that year, but it still allows the AP poll and the coaches poll and all these other elements to factor in as well.
As we're on with Moody Berry from C-Cube, Moody, a lot of people will look to this formula and say, well, prove that it's better than what we've had by comparing it to the past couple of seasons. How accurate or how close is the formula? Have you gone back? Have you retroactively applied this to past seasons? And how has it compared to past seasons? Have the people gotten it right? Was it better under the old BCS system based on this formula?
So it was definitely better than the old BCS system, and it was very close to how the committee was selecting. In fact, if you recall, a couple of years ago, everybody was complaining about Ohio State making it into the Final Four, even though they didn't win their own conference. Well, when I ran the numbers from C-Cubed, it did have Ohio State in the top four. The pecking order of the top four was slightly different, but there was no difference in who was going to play who. So it was Clemson against Ohio State. I think their rankings were flipped based on my calculations, and it also still had Alabama against Washington. And so at the end of the day, it still showed everything exactly the way it played out, just a slight delta. Now this year, when I ran the numbers, it was interesting. The scenario the C-Cube came up with would have avoided an all-SEC final because it would have had Clemson number one, Georgia was number two, Bama was number three, and Oklahoma would have been number four. So you would have had Clemson, Oklahoma, and then Georgia, Bama, and a semifinal. and then you would have an interconference championship, which I think a lot of people would have appreciated more. Now, thankfully, we still had a great national championship game, so it worked out this year. But what if it doesn't next year? We have another all-conference championship, and it's another Alabama-LSU scenario, which is what prompted, if you guys remember, it's what prompted the college football playoff series to avoid that very scenario. So the C-Cube actually combated that, and I was very surprised to see that the college football playoff system did not.
So we're hanging out with Moody Beharry from thecube.com. So, Moody, you're not trying to necessarily replace the college football playoff system, and you've actually sat down with Dan Radakovich and had him kind of get a little tour of what you have and got some great feedback for him. So talk about that a little bit.
So I did have that opportunity. It was a wonderful opportunity sitting with Dan Radakovich. It was he's a very, really smart man, and he brought up a very good point that we have to think of the college football committee as almost like a jury. And if we bring in other human elements into a jury trial, it's a mistrial because we tainted the jury. They look at it the same way. So unfortunately, my human element in this case was the antithesis or the opposite of what they wanted in their scenario. So his suggestion was to go to more of a network broadcasting company, introduce this concept, let them use this system in order to, like an ESPN, which I'm thankful to be on this radio show for that very purpose, and I do appreciate that. So it was a very educational conversation, very eye-opening, and but he offered some really great points for me.
Hanging out with Moody Beharry from thecube.com. So Moody, you've got the coaches poll. So I want to unpack the formula a little bit. So
sure.
You have the coaches poll and the AP poll as two parts of it. And then you've got some statistical stuff as part of it. So talk about the stats that you plug into it. And then I want to pivot after that and talk a little bit about how the people listening can actually get involved and start playing with this themselves.
Okay, you're firing great questions at me, and I appreciate that.
No problem.
So we're gonna break this up into two sections: the coaches poll and the AP poll. That's the human element. Then we have the performance side of things, and those are made up of four things: win-loss record, your opponent's aggregate win-loss record. So as the season is progressing, if they're doing better, it helps your ranking overall. If you've beaten them, even if you lost them, it was a close game. It could help your ranking. The other one is what I call a point percentage. Now, this one's a little tricky. Let's say you guys are team A and I'm team B, and we play, and you guys win 30-10. Your point percentage was 75%. My point percentage was 25%. That single number represents how strong or how weak both my offense and defense is.
Ah, interesting.
So that gets, so that gets factored in. So not only does it show your win-loss, but how well are you actually beating your opponents? And then it also looks at, this is my favorite part of this formula, the out-of-conference win-loss record. So the cool thing about this is one team's win or loss out of the conference will either help or hurt all the other teams inside their conference. Because when a conference plays each other, it's a wash. You're going to have just as many wins as you're going to have losses. But how do you guys do outside of that conference? That's the main question. So if these teams are winning outside of the conference, well, you're in a strong conference. So when you're beating those guys inside of it, that shows your true strength of schedule. So these four factors are part of the performance aspect of it. Now, switch gears to the human side. We have the AP poll and the coaches poll. Now, at the beginning of the year, the way this formula works, most of the weight is on the human element because we don't have any data to go by yet. You know, maybe that first game, you just had a lousy game. It doesn't mean you're a bad team. The rest of the season, you clean house and end up actually having a great season. So you look at the human element first, and as that season progresses, the weight of the human factor gets smaller but doesn't go away. It's always still a part of the formula.
Okay.
But at the beginning, there is no performance data, so we just pretty much zero that out. So in essence, the AP poll and the coaches poll is 100% of this calculation. But by the end of the season, maybe it's 20 or 35%. The cool part is the application that I have. You can set how important the human element is. That's also, as I was referring to earlier, why this is different than the BCS, because that human element allows you to determine what actually is important.
So wrapping things up with Moody Beharry from thecube.com. So Moody, if I wanted to take a test drive of this thing, there's an ability for me to do that, right? So if I wanted to go much heavier on the human element than the the statistical side than you, I could go in and create, I guess, my own the C cubed formula and run rankings that way, correct?
That's correct. And that formula or that system is getting finalized, and it's going to be at thecqb.com probably within the next week. The website's up there. It's up. So this configuration capability will be there, and a lot of people will be able to play with it and maybe even go back and look at previous seasons. So all of that's going to be in play. And the other thing I'm going to be doing, this is kind of for the viewers out there, I'm thinking about incorporating a way for the viewers, the audience out there, to say, hey, these are the factors I think should be. This is my vote on how much the weight of each variable should be. And then we'll have the fans' C-cubed ranking.
Nice.
This is by the people, the people's choice.
I think that's fantastic. So, again, thecqb.com, Moody Beharry, this is your creation. Moody, I'm fascinated by this. I'm really glad you could come on with me. And I said a little bit earlier, you and I and a couple of other folks are trying to cook on some ideas for the fall together. So hopefully we can land on something and make this a regular thing for you on here once the rankings start coming out.
Yes, I would love to be a part of that on a regular basis. That would be fun.
Awesome. That was Moody Beharry, thecqb.com. I told you, you're going to get smarter today. You're going to get smarter. Yeah, Moody is about 50 times smarter than me. I can tell you that. No surprise there at all.
So, and you're at least 2.5 times smarter than me.
Well,
so what does that say?
I would say more like 3 times, but hey, you know, whatever you say. So, hey, that's kind of phase one, right? That's the computer algorithm piece of this. There is a better way to rank college football teams, and I think Moody is onto something there. Coming up after the break, I'm going to introduce you to Heath Gregory from FanJuicer. He has the perfect scientific method for polling people about sports, and he applies that to college football rankings as well. That's coming up. Is there a better way to rank college football teams? I say absolutely. Mark Childress in for Mark Sturgis. We went the computer algorithm route last segment with Moody Beharry from thecqb.com. Fascinating stuff. This is equally as fascinating. I want to welcome in Heath Gregory from fanjuicer.com. Go check out his website because this is fan polling for sports at its finest. Heath, man, thanks for joining us. You know, there's different fan polling sites out there. What makes fanjuicer.com different from the other ones?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Mark. So the main thing that's different about what I'm doing compared to all the other fan polls that are out there is really in how it's done. So the vast majority of the fan polls that you're going to see out there on the internet are going to have what we call a market research, a traditional ranking exercise, where you'll say, okay, this team's number one, this team's number two, this team's number three. The problem with that from a research standpoint is that, you know, most people just can't handle that task. You know, if I were to ask you right now to rank your, you know, top 20 movies of all time, could you do it?
Probably not. I could give you five or six, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably give me your top and your bottom, you know, 20 out of your top 20, but it's going to be a toss-up if your middle items, you know, movies 10 through 15, actually do reflect your true preferences. You know, and on top of that, it takes a lot of time and effort to give a ranking like that. So what we do in market research is instead we break the task down for folks. So we give them sets of four with, you know, four teams. And in each set, they say, okay, this is the best team in the set. This is the worst team in the set. They do that enough times. On the back end, we're able to, you know, do fancy math to compute the rankings for each respondent. And the major benefit of this is, A, it's a lot easier on people, so you get better participation. B, it produces more rich data. You get to see these tierings of teams that, you know, will rise to the top. For instance, like, you know, people may disagree about the order of the top three teams, but there might be a situation where everyone will say, yeah, we may not agree on the order of these top three teams, but we do know that these top three teams are on a different level than the next, you know, following set of teams. So you get to see that tiering in action, and it adds a different layer of insight. And then lastly, it's just a lot more accurate because, like I said, the ratings task is easier on folks. They're more engaged. It's more enjoyable. And so overall, it's just a more It just follows best research practices, and it's a better way than the countless ranking polls that are out there. In addition, I personally think that the vast majority of fan polls are just really, really biased by, the AP or the CFP, depending on what time of the season it is. So most of these fan polls, when people are, saying, oh, this team's one, this team's two, they're more or less just starting it with the AP and just moving a few teams around. They're not really critically considering whether, the team they have ranked 25th could potentially be able to beat the team they've got ranked 19th. My method actually makes them make those critical considerations. And overall, I think my method more truly reflects how fans actually feel.
Yeah, some great stuff here from Heath Gregory. Go check out his website, fanjuicer.com. You can see some of the rankings that he did during the season last year. He's also done a couple of NFL-related articles recently. I'm going to ask you about those in a minute, Heath. But how were your rankings tracking during the season last year against the CFP and against the AP polls? Were there any outliers? Was there anything different or anything that jumped out at you? Did you have teams ranked properly earlier by doing a fan poll? Anything that jumped out at you when you were doing it last season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely there was. So when you think about it, I tracked against the AP at the beginning of the season, and I switched over to the CFP after it's released after week eight. But there's a lot more differences in my poll versus the AP. So the AP generally follows these unwritten rules that writers adhere to whether or not they actually think certain teams could beat other teams. So a good example of that would be an example that your listeners are going to be familiar with is after Clemson, dropped that loss to Syracuse last year. I believe it was week seven. In the AP, Clemson dropped from two down to number seven, whereas Wisconsin was number five in the AP after that game. I know anecdotally, though, if you were to ask most fans, they would have told you after that game that Clemson is a much better team than Wisconsin, and that Clemson would probably beat Wisconsin on a neutral field. The AP doesn't reflect that, though, because the writers have to follow these rules. My poll actually revealed the truth about how fans feel, because people actually, even though we lost that game to Syracuse, we probably were still a better team overall than Wisconsin, and most fans in general probably felt that Clemson would have beat Wisconsin head-to-head after that. And so, more or less what I'm getting at is that it doesn't have to follow those traditional rules that the AP adheres to. And in that way, it's actually more like the CFP poll. So when the CFP poll comes out, my poll actually had a lot more overlap with the CFP poll than the AP. Because, again, the CFP doesn't have to follow those rules either. It's at the end of the day, it's just the subjective opinion of a group of very knowledgeable people.
Talking with Heath Gregory from fanjuicer.com. So a couple of additional things, Heath. You're pulling in thousands of people a week to do these polls, right? I mean, this isn't, hey, I'm polling 50 of my buddies and coming back. You literally do thousands each week, correct?
That's correct.
And you can grow it from there. So I want to talk to let everybody know how they can be involved, I guess, in doing this coming into this season, because this is definitely something that I've already signed up for and I want to be a part of. But before we do that, you did an interesting poll, almost 1,500 NFL fans, about NFL logos and what are the best, what are the worst. So what were some of the biggest takeaways you had from that that article that you recently wrote?
Yeah, so before I talk about the results, I mean, one of the big things that really struck me was the amount of bias that was in this poll. So I asked people, who their what their fan affiliation is, just so I can understand, the bias that's coming into the poll. When I do this type of polling in the fall for college, of course there's some bias. Fan bases tend to rank their team a little higher than all the other fans, but at the end of the day, most fan bases will accept, if they've lost a few games, they probably shouldn't be ranked in the top five, whatever. It wasn't the case when we looked at these logos. Almost every single fan base ranked their team's logo as being one of the, top five in the NFL. And I really just chalk that up to the fact that, again, when you're talking about your team's ranking versus other teams, and you've seen the performance metrics on the field, you kind of have to look yourself in the mirror a little bit and accept that, hey, maybe I shouldn't be ranking my team at the top. Whereas when you're looking at something that's very, very subjective, like logo designs, there's so much emotional cachet attached to those logos based upon your fan experience. I think it's just harder for folks to overall separate themselves from how they rate, something subjective like logos. So there's a ton of bias, but there was bias across the board, regardless of the fan base. So each fan base's biases kind of canceled each other out. So that was really one of the big takeaways overall.
Yeah, I'm looking at the poll here. It had Saints and Lions at the top, followed by the Falcons and the Rams. I was going to ask you about the Panthers logo. It looks like it's about the top third. Any specific feedback from the fans on that one?
Yeah. So absolutely. So the Panthers came in at number 11 with a max diff score of 128. And just to understand that interpretation, 128 means it was ranked 28% higher than the average NFL logo. Because all my max diff scores are indexed at 100. So coming in at number 11, that puts the Panthers in the top third of all the NFL logos. So when I was analyzing this data, I found there was two groups of respondents that had somewhat different preferences. So there was a small pocket of people, a very small pocket, that were more into these classic, more old school NFL logos. I'm talking about the Packers logo, the New York Giants, the Colts, Kansas City Chiefs. Those types of old school logos were, they were preferred by the small pocket of people. But then you had this even bigger pocket of people that were more into these more modern, sleek logos. And by that, I'm talking about like the Texans, the Eagles' new logo. The Panthers kind of fall into that group more so than the classic group. And so in that regard, that's really how the Panthers are classified. The good news is that the group that's into these new sleeker logos is much bigger than the group that's into these more classic logos, and that's why you see the Panthers kind of rising to the top in the top third here.
Yeah, great stuff across the board from Heath Gregory at FanJuicer.com. Heath, before I let you go, if folks are listening, and again, I've already signed up for this, tell the folks at home that are listening how they can get involved and participate in future polls that you're doing, especially as we get closer to the fall and you start doing this week in, week out, so you can compare it against the AP and coaches poll and the CFP poll.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested in participating, go to www.fanjuicer.com, click FanJuicer's online panel, and just simply sign up with your email address. We'll let you know when new polls are out and when new study results are up. And it's pretty simple. You just get an email every single Monday during the college football season. We'll have a new poll out, and then we'll have one on Tuesday for the NFL as well, which is going to be a new feature we're going to be doing this year. And if you're interested more in the company I work for, we're called MDRG. We do a lot of cool consumer research. We help businesses solve problems. If you're interested in the cool work we do, check out www.mdrginc.com.
Awesome stuff from Heath Gregory. And again, we're cooking up something for the fall. Moody, Heath, myself, there's different ways that you can rank college football teams. I think you just heard that. We all got a lot smarter. Moody, Heath, I think they're on to something. We'll talk more college football coming up. Talking college football rankings. Is there a better way?
Feels good to talk college football, doesn't it?
It does, man. Doesn't it, though? And if you listen to the last two segments, we had Moody Beharry from thecube.com and Heath Gregory from fanjuicer.com. Diesel, I told you for like a week I was bringing these guys in. I think that this is future thinking in football, right? You can go on thecube.com and you can see his algorithm and you can change it yourself and you can create your own football rankings 1 through 132 that are scientifically based. You can do that in like 2 minutes, or you can go over and participate in these fan juicer polls and you can have a voice out there to drive a different set of rankings from college football playoffs. What say you? Did either one of these guys win you over?
I'm still skeptical about both. I'm okay. A little more skeptical about Heath's fan polling
okay.
model, because you can put together a mathematical formula that will predict how good a team is. You know, how many rushing yards, how many yards are they giving up? How many points are they scoring? How many points are they having scored against them?
Yep.
Yada, 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 on down the line. The more factors you add to it, in theory, the closer you get to the truth. And I know that we're in an age where fans demand to be part of the experience. Fans demand to be able to have their voices heard. And if a fan poll is the way they do it, then that's fine. My only question is, and this is no disrespect to any armchair quarterback, any armchair analyst, because, I mean, that's what we are. We're armchair analysts. That's what we all do for a living. Why is John Smith sitting on a couch in Pickens, South Carolina? Why does his opinion matter?
Well, with this Max Diff research study, it's scientifically proven that it's not going to allow John Smith from Pickens to say Wake Forest is the number one team in the country and try to skew the poll. The way that it asks the questions and it bunches these teams together, it's going to help all of the people taking the poll make better decisions than, like he said, what are your top 15 favorite heavy metal songs of all time, Diesel? You might get five deep into that, and then everything kind of all blends together. By the way they ask the questions, they can help you arrive at a ranking a lot easier that's going to be a lot more accurate and reflect your true feelings instead of your bias.
Well, if we've got an algorithm that's determining who the best teams are, why do we need a fan poll? Is it just something fans do for fun? Is it a cute little exercise? I mean, is it actually valid data? Why should anyone care what the fan data says?
So for me, it checks a lot of boxes because it is using the scientifically proven research study methods to generate the data. And I think it's a nice snapshot into what do the fans think? Because there are fans out there for every, what did you say, John Smith and Pickens on the couch that doesn't know what he's talking about. There's a super smart college football fan that could probably walk into the studio and talk laps around us that's watching all these games every week.
Right.
And maybe watching more games than these people voting in the AP and coaches poll.
And that's not to say that the fan data, once you poll that many people, that's not to say that that's incorrect or that it's far off of what the actual truth is.
Yes.
But that's when you get into opinion versus math.
But opinion's what everything's about today, right?
It's true.
Let's take Moody's algorithm and go and play with it. Let's go and participate in Heath's FanJuicer weekly polls. I'm all over both of these in the fall. I can't wait to participate in both of these guys' machines and see what it spits out on the other end. And are the fans and are the computers lining up with what I'm thinking? So We can carry this over some more into the 6 o'clock hour because, hey, man, talking college football, you can't beat it. But before that, Dan Favale, smartest dude I know on the NBA. Can the Cavs find a way to win tonight? Can they win the series against Golden State? Dan's coming up right after the break, and he'll tell you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.